Washington, D.C. It got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It's live and local now for a Wednesday. And you know what that means? Chuck Muth, the president of Citizen Outreach, joining us. He has been a writing fool lately. He is coming out daily with great stuff on his Muth Truths. And he joins us. Chuck, how you been, my friend? You have been writing every day.
I wish I didn't have to, Kevin. I wish this was over and I can go back to my normal life of writing only once a week.
Wow. What is your most recent writing?
Well, yesterday we got notice that the woman who is in charge of processing everybody's unemployment claims is now unemployed herself. She quit yesterday morning, and it, thank goodness. I mean, good riddance. She has been an unmitigated disaster throughout this whole thing. But once I got the announcement, I said, well, let me go do a little bit of research and let's find out what her background is. And man, is it, the governor keeps saying that this is not political, you know, everything that's involved here, but her appointment, putting her in charge of the Department of Employment and Training was absolutely political. She has no background whatsoever that in your wildest dreams would justify putting her in charge of that department at the state. She got it through political connections. I suspect there was probably a little bit of affirmative action involved in this appointment. Fortunately, again, she's gone. Now let's just hope that the new person that they bring in can do a better job and get this unemployment mess straightened out.
Well, but is there any evidence that the interim director is going to make that busy signal go away when people try and call in?
Well, from what I've read, it seems that the interim director has been in charge of, was it the Silver State, the Health Exchange,
yep,
or whatever?
Yep.
So it appears that she's had some bureaucratic experience. Me personally, I prefer to put a businessman in there, like Donald Trump is president, that knows how to get things done and cut through red tape. But at least it appears that this woman might be better qualified for handling a bureaucracy than the outgoing unemployment czar.
Meanwhile, today, a tweet from the governor, Governor Sisolak, that he has come up with a roadmap to recovery, and it will all be revealed to us tomorrow. First of all, we expected this last week, and we were somewhat underwhelmed. Now we're being promised something else this week. Are you confident we're going to find out how much of our economy is going to be opened up?
Yes and no. Here's the problem. You know, he announced that he was going to make the big announcement on Thursday, the day before we're supposed to reopen and end that whole stay-at-home order. So he announces on Tuesday that he's going to make an announcement on Thursday to Nevadans. Instead, he goes on Good Morning America this morning and announces it to national television audience. And the stay-at-home order is going to stay in place. It appears that what he's going to do is to allow non-essential businesses to reopen, but only if they provide curbside service or delivery service. So, this guy has been, just like the Dieter director, an unmitigated disaster. He has no idea what he's doing. And Nevadans are suffering terribly because of it. We've already flattened the curve. You look at the figures, the curve is flattened. There is plenty of hospital availability, and yet he's going to continue to keep Nevada on lockdown. I think he likes the power. He likes doing television interviews now, apparently. But you notice, Kevin, that all the TV interviews that he's doing and radio interviews are with friendly crowds. I notice he hasn't, to the best of my knowledge, he hasn't come on your show. He hasn't gone on Fox News to talk to Tucker Carlson or Sean Hannity. He only does softball news availabilities. The guy's, you know, clearly out of his depth. He's way over his skis, and we're all suffering for it, and apparently we're going to continue suffering for it for at least another 2 weeks. We'll have to find out, I guess, tomorrow how much longer we're going to be suffering.
This is what he said on Good Morning America. Our statistics have plateaued. We've got almost 5,000 cases now in the state of Nevada, 225 fatalities. So those numbers have kind of stabilized, and hospitalizations and intensive care hospitalizations have begun to decline. And so we are looking forward to continue to bring our economy back to life a little bit. And then he goes on to say, I won't bore you with the quotes, but essentially he is going to extend the stay-at-home order. Do you think he wasn't listening last Friday when thousands took to the streets down on Las Vegas Boulevard?
Oh, he was listening. I don't think we would have gotten as far as we are today if it hadn't been for all the people going into the streets in their cars, and even, you know, some of these rallies in person. The heat has clearly been turned up on him. I think he's scared to death to make any kind of decision on this thing. He does not know what to do. And again, he keeps saying that this isn't political, but it's very clear that everything that he's been doing all along here has been nothing but political. He's hiding behind his, quote, health experts, but he's more concerned with making a mistake that will cost him re-election by opening too soon than he is with doing the right thing and stop flattening our economy. I mean, it's very, very clear that all of his decision-making in this regard has been at least somewhat politically motivated, not simply relying on the health experts, because like you just quoted him saying, it's plateaued. I mean, we flattened the curve. There's no reason to continue this shutdown and the stay-at-home order. All we have to do is encourage people to continue following social distancing guidelines, continue washing your hands, the same thing we've been hearing for the past 6 weeks. All you got to do is tell people to keep doing that, and let's start opening the economy.
So who precisely is the governor listening to? Is it just R&R Partners? Because what we're seeing now is not medically based.
No, it's not, and I don't think anyone knows who he really is listening to, or if he's listening to anybody, if he's just making these calls on his own. I'm not impressed with the folks that he has surrounded himself with. We're supposed to trust his judgment, that the people he's getting his advice from our experts, but look at the expert that he hired to run the unemployment office, and what an unmitigated disaster that was. Look at the experts that he's hired to put on these dog and pony shows on Facebook, his press conferences, that are just so amateurish, it is just unbelievable that a governor's office could put something like that out on the air. Grade schoolers could do a better job on Zoom than what this governor's office has done. I mean, it really looks like this is the Keystone Cops are who he's really surrounded himself with and listening to. And if we can't trust him to do such simple, basic things, how can we trust his judgment when it comes to reopening and restarting our economy?
More coming up from Chuck Muth, the president of Citizen Outreach. We'll take a look ahead past this extension of the stay-at-home order. We'll do that and more coming up. Live and local now.
In these troubled times, we all need to prepare for the unexpected. Hey, Kevin Wall here. That's why I recently called Castle Insurance Group to do a full review of my insurance. In an emergency, I wanted to be fully covered, but I also wanted to make sure I was getting the most bang for the buck. I spent all of about 10 minutes with my Castle Insurance Group agent, and the next morning, she had my quotes for auto and renter's insurance ready to go. She not only improved my coverage, but she also saved me hundreds of dollars. In these uncertain times, who couldn't use more money in their pocket? At Castle Insurance Group, they'll find you the best policy from name brand insurers like Progressive, Nationwide, Safeco, Travelers, Hartford, and ASI. Would you like to save money on your home, auto, and life insurance while actually improving coverage? Then call my friends at Castle Insurance Group at 702-714-1060. Ask for a free quote. That's 702-714-1060. All it will cost you is 10 minutes and a phone call. That's 702-714-1060.
Hi, I'm State Senator Scott Hammond. These are difficult times for all of us, a time set apart. But our Las Vegas community has always come together when we need to. We all have a part to play, and it is heartwarming to know that our community is strong enough to fight this. Many of you also have questions or concerns, which is why I have compiled as much information and resources on my website as possible. Please visit HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. That's HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. Paid for by Friends of Scott Hammond.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and a previous candidate for governor of Nevada. As the owner of Las Vegas Cycery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. During the COVID-19 business shutdown, the Department of Homeland Security has categorized bicycle shops as essential businesses. We've been servicing a lot of bikes to help people get their two-wheeled transportation up and running. Many people who are losing their jobs are now using their bicycles for transportation. They don't have money for their car or their insurance, so they'll use a bike to get around. Our community is also using them as a way to get outdoors, stay in shape, and enjoy the fresh air. If you need help dusting off the cobwebs and getting on your bike, we're here to service you curbside from 9 to 5 daily. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215, as well as the Bonneville Transit Center downtown Las Vegas. Our phone number is 702-596-2953.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. Are you in need of a healthcare program? Well, you're in luck. As a member of Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community that comes together to share their medical expenses. You can sign up throughout the year with memberships starting as early as the following month. And there are no contracts or commitments. Programs start as low as $199 per month, and there's no network. So you can choose your own doctors and hospitals. Liberty HealthShare is a nonprofit ministry, not insurance. So your money goes towards helping other members with their eligible medical expenses. And in your time of need, other members are there for you. You can feel good knowing that you're part of a community of like-minded individuals who understand the importance of people coming together to bear one another's burdens. To find out more, call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or go to libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall. That's libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall.
Hi, I'm Jim Small, and I'm running for State Assembly in District 2. I grew up instilled with the values of hard work, giving back to the community, and spending money wisely. District 2 wants a representative in Carson City that will fight high taxes and regulations that hurt businesses and the livelihood of everyday Nevadans. I have carried those values all of my life, and I have the necessary experience to do the job. My name is Jim Small, and I'm running to be your assemblyman in District 2. Remember, think big, vote small. Paid for by Jim for Nevada.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
All across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too. It's Live and Local now for a Wednesday. Chuck Muth joining us. There was no specificity on the part of the governor other than the reporting by the RJ. Nevada's stay-at-home order, which was set to expire Friday, will be extended, Governor Steve Sisolak said in an interview with ABC's Good Morning America earlier today. The governor, who teased on Twitter a day before that he would announce a roadmap to recovery plan for Nevada to reopen the business and businesses and other services, said in an interview with anchor Amy Robach that the state would soon start easing some restrictions when it comes to retail stores being allowed to have curbside pickup as well as some outdoor recreation activities. Let me just ask you, it was pretty obvious coming down to Wednesday before the Friday that he was not going to undo the restrictions. What do you think will be coming tomorrow from the governor? Do you have any feel for I know yesterday he came out and said, hey, the medical profession and the dental industry needs to get going again. Do you have a feel for what's going to be coming from the governor tomorrow?
No, I don't think so. Whatever it is, it's not going to be enough. This is Governor Sisolak. What's the old saying? Nero fiddled while Rome burned. And that's exactly what we're seeing here with our governor. The economy is burning to a crisp. There are people who are unemployed that tomorrow will have rent payments due again. April 1st came and went. They got a little bit of help from the federal government with the stimulus check that maybe helped get them through April, but there's nothing else coming. What are people going to do to pay the rent when it comes due this Friday? People who have been unemployed since he shut down the state back on March 17th still can't get their unemployment benefits. Many still haven't been able to even get through to file their claim. One of the things that the federal government did with the whole national motion, what Congress did was to allow self-employed individuals and gig workers like rideshare or like Uber and Lyft drivers, that they were allowed to get unemployment. The Nevada Department of Employment and Training, the unemployment office, still hasn't set up the system. They can't go in, even if they could access the website, and file their unemployment claims. So this thing is already a huge problem. It's getting worse. People are getting antsy. They're not going to put up with it much longer. I don't foresee a whole lot of people continuing to even follow the stay-at-home order. And I suspect, Kevin, very soon we're going to start seeing a little bit more outright civil disobedience with people saying, I don't care what you say, Governor, I'm getting my hair cut, or I'm going to cut somebody's hair, I'm going to go to their house, and if you don't like it, actually, Kevin, tell you the truth, it's already happening. There is an underground economy going on right now that isn't getting a lot of public attention because people know better than to stick their head up and get it whacked by this governor. But people are already going back to their lives. They're already doing it, and they're going to continue doing it in greater numbers as the governor continues to let this thing drag on.
One of the things you do better than just about anybody I know, and that is you do politics. What is the politics of this? The governor obviously doesn't have to run right away, but he will be eventually running for re-election. Is this something? I mean, I somebody called the show the other day saying, "Hey, what about Carolyn Goodman running against the governor?" Is there going to be a political fallout from all of this, you think, for the governor?
There should be, but there are very, very few Republicans. Carolyn Goodman is an independent. She is, I believe, 81 years old. I'd be surprised if she decided in 2 years that she wanted to run for governor. That said, there is absolutely no one in the wings warming up in the bullpen as a Republican to take on the governor in 2022. And when you say, let's talk about politics, you can't beat somebody with nobody. So as badly as the governor has handled this, there's nobody out there that's been challenging him and calling him on the ineptness of the way he's handled the situation. So, some Republicans are just now starting to say some things, which is more than we've had for the past 6 weeks. But what they're saying is, well, we need a plan. Come on, Governor, you need to give us a plan. But they're not putting forward any plan. And that's just on the reopening part, Kevin. We haven't even gotten to the point where we have the government, which should be the Nevada legislature, and the local governments dealing with the economic consequences of this shutdown. Tax revenue is drying up. Now, what are we going to do in order to make up that revenue? Are you going to raise taxes on people who have been unemployed all this time and businesses who have been shut down? Well, if you're not going to raise taxes on them, the only other option is to start cutting government. And most of the money that goes into government funds salaries for government workers. So when are we going to start laying off non-essential government workers? When are we going to start reducing salaries for some of these non-essential government workers and even essential ones? This is stuff that should have been started a month ago by the legislature, but you haven't got a single Republican yet that I know of who has called on the governor to call a special session to start dealing with these problems.
Are there enough Democrats out there to join with Republicans for 2/3? That's what you need to call for a special session. Are there any right-minded Democrats that would say, hey, enough of this, we need a special session?
No, not a one that I am aware of. They are all scared to death to take on the governor of their own party. They're afraid of doing political damage to him is one thing, but they're even more afraid, I think, of the retribution that will come their way. And what we have seen over the past 6 weeks from this governor is that he doesn't take criticism very well, and he's not above enacting revenge, political revenge, on anyone who dares to cross him. So no, I don't think you will see any Democrats coming out calling for a special session. I mean, if Republicans are too scared to come out and call for a special session, an immediate special session, you sure as heck aren't going to see any Democrats doing it.
And assuming the extension is for a week or 2 weeks, you do sense that there may be civil disobedience ahead in our community.
Yeah, there's already civil disobedience going on in our community. I think what you're going to find is more people are going to be public about it. Maybe you saw this, Kevin. It was just a couple of days ago. There was a hairdresser in Dallas who got a citation for continuing to provide her service in violation of a government order not to. And very publicly, out in public, she tore that citation up in half on video and said, you're not going to tell me that I can't make a living. And I think you're going to start seeing more and more people here in Nevada taking similar public protests and defying the governor's order. I just see it coming if he's not careful. He's really going to stir up people to the point, because they're getting desperate, Kevin. I mean, absolutely desperate. It's not even just paying the rent. It's putting food on the table. And desperate people will do desperate things. So I think the governor's playing with fire here in keeping the state shut down. Especially, at the very least, I don't know if he's going to do this or not tomorrow, but at the very least, let's face it, our problems are in Clark County and Washoe County, Las Vegas and Reno. There's no reason not to open up the other 15 counties.
Chuck, always good. If folks want to follow you, if they want to get Muth's Truths, I love it. It's becoming a daily habit with me. Where do people go?
They can go to NevadaNewsAndViews.com, NevadaNewsAndViews.com, and there's a subscription box for Muth's Truths right there on the website.
Very good. Chuck, thanks, man. Have a great week. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday.
You got it, Kevin. Take care.
Thank you. Chuck Muth joining us. Yeah. We'll find out what Megan Barth is up to today. From ReaganBabe.com, MediaEqualizer.com, Red Wave America Pack. That's all ahead, live and local now.
I'm Lauren Simonetti, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks are rallying in afternoon trading on hopes of progress for a coronavirus treatment and ahead of views from Federal Reserve policymakers on the health of the economy. At 2:30 Eastern Time, Fed Chair Jerome Powell will hold a press conference after the central bank concludes its two-day policy meeting. And investors are encouraged by news today from Gilead Sciences that a clinical trial evaluating its drug remdesivir in coronavirus patients had positive results. Shares of Gilead are rising over 6%. And ride-sharing company Lyft is laying off around 17% of its workforce and additionally furloughing close to 300 staffers. Lyft is also issuing reductions in base salary for exempt employees for a 12-week period. The salary cuts begin in May. And after the closing bell today, some Wall Street heavyweights are slated to report earnings, including Facebook, Microsoft, Qualcomm, and Tesla. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
News. I'm Chris Foster. The coronavirus shutdown starting in March caused the first quarter of the year economy to shrink at the fastest pace since 2008, 4.8%. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says on the Brian Kilmeade Show on Fox News Radio,
"It's been a catastrophic event for our economy. And I congratulate the governors around the country who are beginning to open up consistent with phase one of the White House Coronavirus Task Force recommendations and begin to move us in the direction of getting back to normal."
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo again calls for more investigation into the origins of the virus and the Chinese government's handling of it.
America needs to hold them accountable. I've been heartened to see Australia, other countries joining this, demanding an investigation, because while we know this started in Wuhan, China, we don't yet know from where it started. And in spite of our best efforts to get experts on the ground, they continue to try and hide.
Secretary Pompeo on Fox and Friends this morning. America's listening to Fox News.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
From the health of every American to the health of your portfolio, Fox Business brings you complete coronavirus coverage. As markets continue to react with extreme volatility, Fox Business shows you how to navigate the turmoil with instant analysis to help you make your next move. Plus, breaking reports from Washington to Main Street, keeping you on top of every development as it happens. Turn to Fox Business for the continuing coronavirus coverage every investor needs.
Hiring people is probably the worst part of my job. It's such a hassle, the searching, the sorting through resumes. Most people don't have the right experience.
We started using ZipRecruiter about 3 months ago. Right from the start, you could tell it was going to make hiring a lot easier. One click and my job was posted to 100+ job boards, all the top sites.
All of the candidates came to my dashboard, and it's easy to compare them. Thumbs up if I liked them, thumbs down if I didn't. No emails and attachments, printing up docs, phone calls, none of that.
And I couldn't believe the number of great applicants we got. I had the person we needed within 1 week. I don't know how we hired before ZipRecruiter.
Whether you're looking to fill one position or 20, find the best candidates with ZipRecruiter, where your job is just one click away from 100+ job sites. ZipRecruiter, the fastest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/radio offer. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio offer. ZipRecruiter.com/radio offer.
You don't have to deliver 15 tons of food to the hungry.
You can start with 10 ounces.
You don't have to dedicate your life to saving lives.
Just dedicate 15 minutes.
You don't need to provide guidance to 5,000 young men and women.
Just one will do.
You don't have to build a school in an impoverished area to change a child's life.
Just spend an hour a week reading at one.
The men and women of America's Navy do some amazing things to make the world a better place. But then again, so can millions of everyday Americans right in their own backyards. Brought to you by America's Navy.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
All across the state of Nevada, we are your radio program of record. It's live and local now. Good to have you with us. I always love it when we have Megan Barth on because she is a breath of fresh air. She joins us now, and Megan, first of all, thanks for joining us. We thought that the governor was going to release the roadmap to recovery tomorrow. He says he still is, but he says that does not include unleashing the stay-at-home order. And in fact, he said on Good Morning America today that he is going to extend that stay-at-home order. What do you make of what the governor did today on Good Morning America?
Did he happen to say when he was going to extend the stay-at-home order?
He did. He was not specific. He was not specific.
Of course. Of course he wasn't specific. Of course. That's what we should expect from this governor. Absolutely nothing. And I think it's about time that the citizens of this state, as well as this county, take it in their own hands and open up their businesses in accordance with CDC guidelines. And then we'll see if we really are under martial law or not. I keep having people tell me that we're not. But we really haven't challenged the authority, have we? This unconstitutional edict that this governor has mandated for now, what is it, 45 days? And it might extend to 60. It might extend to 90. Hell, why don't we just extend it 18 months until all of us are like lab rats and those of us who want to get injected with the new vaccine can get injected with the new vaccine? He has the absolute audacity to go on a national morning news program and not confront, address, or do a press conference with the citizens and constituents of his state. He also does not have the temerity or the guts, quite frankly, to do that address that is so very needed. He also has an unemployment system that is a complete fiasco. No one can get through. No one has gotten checks. 6 weeks with no unemployment check. 6 weeks without an ability to pay the rent. 6 weeks without the ability to feed their families and keep the roof over their head. The governor is a political tool. He is a political pawn. He is a political fraudster. And he's relying on his expert CMO, chief medical officer, isn't even licensed to practice medicine in the United States. He's surrounded by all these experts, and yet the experts, from my vantage point, are only good and have expertise in pushing paper around and showing graphs and making big announcements about, and their big announcements have to do with, well, our big announcement today is that we're planning on making another big announcement tomorrow.
That's exactly what he did on Good Morning America earlier today. Yeah. Other than the little tease that, well, we're going to be extending the stay at home order. I've been amazed. It began with Adam Fortney, who is the sheriff of Snohomish County, Washington, saying he was not going to enforce, and his department was not going to enforce that governor's edicts on stay at home, We're hearing that from other sheriffs. Do you think that we'll have sheriffs here in the state of Nevada who will defy the orders of the governor?
We better. Because the first duty of a sheriff is his oath to defend and protect and be a guardian of the Constitution. If there is a unconstitutional edict that comes from some despot in Carson City, he has no constitutional obligation to enforce an unconstitutional edict. It's the other way around. And some of these sheriffs are understanding that, whether they're in Washington or whether they're in Maine or whether they're in Racine, Wisconsin. So the Sheriff Lombardo has a constitutional duty to uphold the Constitution and does not have to enforce unconstitutional edicts. His duty, we have an expectation of the sheriff to not only protect the Constitution, uphold the Constitution, but also we have an expectation of safety.
At what point do we reach the level of civil disobedience? We saw people taking to the streets last Friday on that drive down Las Vegas Boulevard with Wayne Allen Root. I get a sense that people have had it up to here and that the next step is going to be some form of civil disobedience. Do you think that's going to happen?
The best form of civil disobedience is to open your shops and then record. Record the SWAT or the police or the sheriff's department or whomever who may come to your door and force you or ticket you or fine you or force you to shut down. Grab that on video and audio. Use your phones. We are all citizen journalists. The best act of defiance is to defy this unconstitutional edict, the unknown. You know, the biggest threat to business is not only our governor, but the biggest threat to business is uncertainty. So now he doesn't even have an idea of when we're going to open. No clue. Don't we deserve at least that much? He's made a compact, which is unconstitutional, with California, Oregon, Colorado, all three of failing socialist states. But why not make a compact with our neighbors, like Arizona or Utah? And he says this isn't political. Well, the only compact he's making is with blue states. What about the red states? What about the purple states?
Let me ask you, one of the quotes from this morning's Good Morning America from the governor, quote, "Unfortunately, we're going to have to extend the stay-at-home order a little bit. We just have not reached exactly where we want to get to in the downward trajectory." As we test more, aren't we going to have more positive tests for the coronavirus?
Possibly, because if we're testing more, we're going to get more results. But why aren't we looking at how many people have survived? Why aren't we looking at not only the mortality rate, but the recovery rate? If we have tens of thousands of people who have tested positive and we only have 170 or is it 200 deaths now out of a population of 3 million, but we've got way, we have 300 deaths, but we have, I don't know, tens of thousands of people who recovered. Isolation does not build immunity. And what this governor is trying to do, and this is all part of the big plan, because this is part of every progressive's plan, is to basically overthrow the economy so they can usher in bigger government, so they can make people dependent on government, which gives you bigger government. That is the leftist dream. It's called the fundamental transformation. It's called structural change. It's whatever words they decide to put in their talking point. They don't like this country. They obviously don't like capitalism. They obviously don't like small business, because how can you tell me that it's okay for me to go into a Walmart or a Target or a Costco, but I can't go into a small business if the small businesses practice CDC guidelines? Why can't small business, family-owned and operated businesses practice CDC guidelines? Why is that? I've got no answer yet, and I probably won't get an answer. I'm not going to hold my breath for an answer because this governor has no answers.
Just so you know, I was visiting with one small business guy yesterday. I was in his place of business, and he was having the floor torn up, and he was remodeling, hopefully to eventually pass muster with the gaming board and others. And the problem is, he says, they won't tell me what it is they want me to do. I mean, I've got multiple floor plans ready to go, and all I got to do is tell my workers, hey, put this over here, put these machines over there. But he says, nobody will tell me what to do. When are we going to start getting direction from the governor's office or the gaming board or whoever it is?
I don't expect answers from bureaucrats. Their job, from my vantage point, is to create more uncertainty, is to bankrupt small businesses, is to talk about having a plan when they have no plan, and then just saying, we're going to make big announcements, but then these big announcements are about more big announcements. The governor is doing tours of CNN and Good Morning America and MSNBC programs that nobody watches, maybe simps, but nobody else watches. So all I can say is that get to your nearest gun store. Of course, buy a gun if you don't have one. Buy a few. But also sign the recall petition for this governor and recall him, because that's where you're going to find the petition, at pretty much any gun store in the Valley as well as in northern Nevada.
Now, Megan, I've been told that through recent legislation, they have made it virtually impossible to recall a sitting governor. Is that true, where they've upped the threshold dramatically to where it's almost impossible to do? Is that right?
Sure, but nothing is impossible. The recall effort is already halfway there. What's interesting is that the governor and the secretary of state, who is now being federally sued in federal court, Republican Barbara Zagaski, who is now being supported by the DNC. Did everybody know that? The DNC is now supporting Barbara Zagaski after she used all of our money to get reelected and used all of our time and volunteers to get reelected. She's now being supported by the DNC in the federal case. That was some news that came down yesterday. But yes, they did make it harder, and I've talked to some constitutional lawyers because I can't find a lawyer in this state with the cojones enough to stand up to the governor. Where's Adam Laxalt? I don't know. People keep telling me, have you talked to Adam Laxalt? No, I haven't talked to Adam Laxalt. He's more than welcome to call me. Email me. I'm easy to find. But I have found no lawyer in this state who's willing to stand up to the unconstitutional actions of this governor, and I have to wonder why. What are they afraid of? Many of them have already lost. What do they have to lose?
Good point. Good point. Megan Barth joining us. We're going to talk about Dieter, the unemployment folks. I've got people that swear up and down they've made 400, 500 calls a day to unemployment office, and they still can't get through. They've changed the leadership atop Dieter. Is it going to make that much of a difference? We'll get to that and more coming up on the other side as we continue with Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, MediaEqualizer.com, Red Wave America PAC. We'll do that and more coming up live and local now.
There is good news. We will recover. We will thrive if we act now. I'm Sam Peters, and I'm running to be your congressman in Nevada's District 4. I'm not a professional politician. I'm a 20-year military veteran and a successful business owner. I know how to balance a budget, secure a border, and help President Trump revive our economy. Nevada, we need a congressman who will work for you. I can help. Join SamPetersForCongress.com. Remember, Sam Peters, the number 4, Congress.com. I approve this message.
Paid for by the committee to elect Sam Peters.
Do you or a member of your family suffer from chronic pain? Would you like to make the pain go away? Hey, Kevin Wall here. Then you need to check out the Pain Injury Brain Center of America, now open in Las Vegas. At PIPCOA, they treat your chronic pain without addictive drugs and with non-invasive pain-free therapy. I suffered from chronic pain due to an impingement of my rotator cuff. I tried cortisone shots, painful physical therapy, nothing worked. Then a friend suggested I contact PIPCOA, and after just 6-hour-long treatments, the pain went away. In fact, I canceled my scheduled surgery. And after a brief hiatus due to the coronavirus, PIPCOA is back accepting appointments. Whether your pain comes from headaches, a disc injury, broken bones, hip or knee injury, neuropathy, even PTSD, regardless of the source of your pain, PIPCOA can make the pain go away. You don't have to live with the chronic pain. Make the pain go away. Call PIPCOA at 702-546-8767. That number again, 702-546-8767.
Hello, I'm Steven Silberkraus, candidate for University Regent in District 3. As a state assemblyman, I fought and passed major education reforms. As a regent, I'll continue the fight to modernize and improve our state's universities and colleges. Silberkraus might be hard to spell, but it's nothing compared to how hard I'll work for you. For more information, check out my website at silberkraus.com. That's silberkraus.com. SilberKraus.com. Paid for by Friends for Steven Silberkraus.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few months ago, a friend invited me for a Tuesday evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes, but boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's has been there for 31 years and family-owned for 19 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. As they say at Ichabod's, we manage with generosity. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including steaks, seafood, burgers, pasta, and 5 daily specials. And their kitchen's open 24 hours for you late-night foodies. And I just love Ichabod's old-school Vegas atmosphere. When everybody else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers. Check out their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar from 6:30 to 10:30. You want to win? You want to have fun? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
As a woman and a mom, sometimes you just have to take a stand. Take Dan Rodimer, who's running for Congress. You kidding me? Rodimer's violent criminal record is an immediate disqualifier. Rodimer has been arrested for violent assaults 3 times. In one case, Rodimer admitted guilt to battery. Another Rodimer attack was so horrific, his victim had intracranial bleeding. A witness at one attack told police
Rodimer bragged he'd like to hurt people, and an arrest warrant described Rodimer as armed or dangerous. But there's more. A police report detailed Rodimer's harassment of a teenage girl, while another exposed Rodimer was investigated for a domestic incident. It's bad enough Rodimer was sued for forgery, fraud, and for not paying his taxes. But violent assaults and harassing women? That's unforgivable. Paid for and authorized by friends of Dan Schwartz.
I'm Dan Schwartz, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
It is live and local now. Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, MediaEqualizer.com, Red Wave America PAC joining us as she does every Wednesday. I got to ask you, Dieter is crumbling around this governor. We've got a new interim. We've got an interim leader of Dieter, the unemployment folks. And yet people, even as late as last night, were telling me all they do is spend a half their day on the phone and getting that stupid busy signal. Is that going to get any better? Is an interim leader of Dieter going to make this thing any better? I don't see how they're going to improve it.
No, it's like shuffling chairs on the Titanic. Obviously, the system is not designed to handle the weight of hundreds of thousands of people relying on government to save them. This should probably be the moment when people realize that you should not rely on government to save you. As a matter of fact, in this state, it's the other way around. The government is harming people. What happened to all that tax revenue? What happened to the $1 billion that was raised 4 years ago? What happened to all the pot tax revenue? What happened to all of the operating revenue? We are using systems that are basically running on DOS and have IBM mainframe computers from 1982. Why haven't we upgraded our infrastructure? Infrastructure has much more to do with than just roads and buildings. If the desire of the left is to have an all-encompassing government, a huge government, why isn't this government seamless? Why isn't it technologically advanced? Why isn't it working for the people? And the answer is because it was never designed that way. An all-encompassing, powerful government is actually a threat to every individual. But at the minimum, what we should expect is a government that uses our tax dollars for infrastructure.
Do you buy the notion that the governor has been trying to espouse that this is the legislature's fault, that we knew that this was not there and could not withstand any sort of catastrophe, and that it's not the governor's fault, it's the legislature's fault?
So now he's blaming his fellow Democrats? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, well, thank you very much. We will make sure that every single leftist Democrat, they're women, 18 women, were ushered into the Nevada State Legislature. I guess they can't take care of their own backyard. So it's going to be us to bounce them out on their ear. So I'm glad that the governor finally realizes that Democrats are the problem and not the solution.
And this is the thing that bothers me most, that the governor tried to pawn this off on the legislature. But then in one of his news conferences, he was bragging about the part that, well, you know, we are going to backdate all of these benefits. That doesn't help the guy that's going to get tossed out of his house on Friday when the new month rolls around and he doesn't have the rent. And that's what bothers me more than anything on this. Does the Dieter thing get any better with a new interim director?
No. Because it doesn't matter, like I said, who is driving the Titanic. It matters what's under the Titanic.
Ooh. Well, it'll be fascinating to see how this all plays out. Now, let me ask you, as far as from a political standpoint, because let's face it, you know, these people are all politicians, Sisolak and all of them. Is there going to be a political price to be paid for a governor like Steve Sisolak, who has been less than impressive? Is there going to be a political price to pay?
Only if every single person in this state is outraged enough to bounce him and his cadre of communists out of Carson City. It can be done, but it requires everyone to vote and to vote with their pocketbook. And the only people that are robbing you of what is in your pocketbook are those that are holding power in Carson City. And that starts with the governor. And it goes on down. And also, and I must repeat, that Barbara Zagaski, who is no fan of mine, because when I walked into this state 5 years ago, I started looking at the voter rolls. And what I found was just filthy, bloated voter rolls. And I was called a conspiracy theorist. Well, guess what? She just got sued. And she got sued in federal court. And she is now supported by the DNC. And so there should never be another office that Barbara Zagaski holds for the GOP, period. I don't care if it's dog catcher. I don't care if it is city council. But she should never be allowed one more dollar, one more phone call, or one more volunteer on behalf of the GOP to run for office.
Wow. Wow. And in 30 seconds or less, in order to oust the governor via election, we got to have a Republican candidate. Any idea who that Republican candidate would be?
Not now. I haven't thought that far. I'm hoping that the recall effort will go forward and work. I've been talking to lawyers. I have put them in touch with people in northern Nevada. I believe that what they did do by changing the law related to recall is unconstitutional. I also believe that not stopping the recall, meaning they are not allowing the recall the opportunity to collect signatures in the fact that, one, we have a stay-at-home order, and number two, they've shut down all federal buildings where normally the people behind the recall
hey, Megan.
Sit outside. Like
hey,
the
Megan.
DFC to the library.
Hey, Megan, I'm running out of time. Thank you so much, Reagan.
You're welcome.
ReaganBabe.com, MediaEqualizer.com, Red Wave America PAC on Live and Local now.
Hi, I'm Jim Small, and I'm running for State Assembly in District 2. I grew up instilled with the values of hard work, giving back to the community, and spending money wisely. District 2 wants a representative in Carson City that will fight high taxes and regulations that hurt businesses and the livelihood of everyday Nevadans. I have carried those values all of my life, and I have the necessary experience to do the job. My name is Jim Small, and I'm running to be your assemblyman in District 2. Remember, think big, vote small. Paid for by Jim for Nevada.
Hi, I'm State Senator Scott Hammond. These are difficult times for all of us, a time set apart. But our Las Vegas community has always come together when we need to. We all have a part to play, and it is heartwarming to know that our community is strong enough to fight this. Many of you also have questions or concerns, which is why I have compiled as much information and resources on my website as possible. Please visit HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. That's HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. Paid for by Friends of Scott Hammond.
790 KVET, Winchester, Las Vegas. Talk now!